turn together in God's Word to Psalm 107. You'll notice as I read, and actually if you have your Bible open there right now, in my Bible, I have to turn a page to look at the final verse of this psalm, verse 33. And I just wanted to actually turn your attention there before I read this morning. There, this psalm closes with these words, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord." Boys and girls, I want to ask you this evening to pay careful attention as I read. This is a rather long psalm. It's 43 verses, but you're going to hear a certain refrain. You're going to hear one verse that says the same thing over and over again, and it's a very key verse for this psalm, and really it's a very key verse for your lives before God. So let's give our careful attention. Let's be wise and let us attend right now carefully to the Word of God. Let us remember that this is God speaking to us by His Word. This is Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He has redeemed from trouble and gathered in from the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He satisfies the longing soul and the hungry soul. He fills with good things. Some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. For they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. So He bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and burst their bonds apart. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. For He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in to the bars of iron. Some were fools through their sinful ways, and because of their iniquity suffered affliction. They loathed any kind of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He sent out His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of His deeds in songs of joy. Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep. For He commanded and raised the stormy sea, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Let them thank the Lord for His steadfast love, for His wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol Him in the congregation of the people and praise Him in the assembly of the elders. He turns rivers into a desert, springs of water into thirsty ground, a fruitful land into a salty waste. because of the evil of its inhabitants. He turns a desert into pools of water, a parched land into springs of water, and there he lets the hungry dwell, and they establish a city to live in. They sow fields and plant vineyards and get a fruitful yield. By his blessing, they multiply greatly, and he does not let their livestock diminish. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, evil, and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and makes them wander in trackless wastes. But he raises up the needy out of affliction and makes their families like flocks. The upright see it and are glad, and all wickedness shuts its mouth. Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. Amen. Please bow with me for prayer. Gracious God in heaven, we do stand before your holy word. And we are oftentimes a very distracted people. And we do not attend to your word in the way that your word demands. And really, we recognize in and of ourselves that we can't do that apart from the work of your Holy Spirit graciously working in us. And so we plead with you now for that work. We pray that as we come, perhaps tired, perhaps distracted by cares and concerns of our lives in this world, yet we plead with you for this brief time that we might be able to attend to these things, that we might consider together your steadfast love. And we pray that you would apply the truth of this word to our hearts tonight so that we might obey your word and give thanks to you. And so we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Well, on October 14th, 1829, a Scottish pastor and missionary by the name of Alexander Duff, he set sail with his wife for their mission to India. 4 months later, still on their voyage to India, at midnight on February 13th, their ship ran aground as they tried to navigate the Cape of Good Hope. Fairly quickly, the waves destroyed the ship, washing everything away, but miraculously, and by the grace of God, everyone, passenger and crew, made it safely to shore. While everyone was gathering together there on the shore, one of the sailors walked the shoreline, simply trying to find food for their survival. And as he walked, he happened upon two books. He found a Bible, and he found a Scottish Psalter. Looking inside, he found the name of this missionary, Alexander Duff. Duff had been transporting some 800 books with him so that he might start a college, but only these two books remained. Well, in spite of all of these losses, Duff immediately opened his Bible with this crowd around him, and he turned to Psalm 107, and there he used the words of this psalm to call his heart and the hearts of all those around him to give thanks to God. Imagine all of these survivors standing there, probably cold and shaking and afraid on the shore, as Duff read aloud the opening words of Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. In some ways, we might question the wisdom of this minister in that moment. Why are you calling upon these people in these circumstances to give thanks to God for his goodness and for his steadfast love? I mean, they've just been through a very traumatic event. Yes, their lives have been spared, but for many of them, they've lost everything that they own. Well, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells us to give thanks in all circumstances. In fact, it says that this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. God's will for you tonight is that despite present circumstances, you are to give thanks to God. Psalm 107 calls you tonight to give thanks to God, for He is good, and because His steadfast love endures forever. So how are we to give thanks to God in all circumstances? Does God simply call us to live some sort of Pollyanna lives in this world? Does God call us to play the glad game and to ignore our real lives in this world and all of the troubles and the pains that we face? Can you really be expected to give thanks when present circumstances are discouraging? Well, as you can see here in our text tonight, the Christian always has grounds to give thanks to God. The psalm begins by calling on all of us to give thanks to God by turning our attention to God. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. As the psalmist goes on there in verse 2, he gets more specific about the goodness of God, and he narrows our focus to God's redeeming work in our lives. You see, no matter your circumstances tonight, if you know God through Jesus Christ, you have much to give thanks for. In fact, it's by way of this psalm that the psalmist gives to us here four very vivid pictures of our redemption, of what we have in Jesus Christ. And that is why he closes this psalm with those words, "Whoever is wise, let him attend to these things." We are to attend to these vivid reminders of God's grace and mercy in each and every one of our lives as we trust in Jesus Christ. Well, that is simply what we want to do together tonight. With God's help, let us meditate upon God's goodness to us in Jesus Christ. So I want to begin tonight to ask you to picture your past peril. Again, I am self-consciously preaching to you as those who trust in Jesus Christ, because that is what this psalm calls us to. So I want you to picture your past peril. Now, I think all of you will understand what I mean when I say that it is all too easy for us to simply grow accustomed to the beauty that surrounds us. Some of you, like me, grew up here in Colorado, and we can begin to take for granted the beautiful mountains here to our west and the fact that we even right now are in a very beautiful surrounding, surrounded by all of these wonderful trees and hills. But oftentimes when people first move to this area, they can't help but give expression to their delight in the beauty that surrounds them, and that is for good reason. And every time I experience that, I'm just reminded that I often take for granted the beauty that surrounds me. Again, I grew up here in Colorado, and the thing that helps me most appreciate the beauty that surrounds us here was the time that I had to move somewhere else. My family and I spent 9 months in the city of Pittsburgh, and it is a much different setting. Well, having been removed to that setting, it's much easier to come back here and to appreciate the beauty that we enjoy each and every day. Well, that is a lot like what the psalmist is doing for us tonight. In order for us to regain a fresh appreciation for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, he simply takes us back to another setting. He takes us back to who we were, using these various pictures to help us think and to attend upon who we once were apart from the work of God for us in Jesus Christ. So let's consider these four pictures together. The first picture that the psalmist provides is that of the desert wanderer. With this description, the psalmist calls to mind that time in which the people of God wandered aimlessly in the desert because of their unbelief. Refusing to believe in God, they could not find their way and they had no city in which to dwell. Because their wandering in the desert continued, their hunger and their thirst increased. And because their hunger and their thirst increased, their souls fainted within them. Well, such is a description of every soul without God through Jesus Christ. The psalmist wants you and me to remember that our lives were like that soul out in that vast desert wasteland. We were once lost. We were once without the food that is Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We were once without the springs of living water that are in Jesus Christ. We longed for a home, yet we were without any real hope of ever finding it. Right now, we are entering at that time of year in which advertisers seize upon a longing common to every human heart. It's not uncommon to hear at this time of year that there is no place like home for the holidays, right? There's no place like home for the holidays. And even when you hear that, there's something within you that longs for home. Or really, advertisers are simply seizing upon something that is true within each and every one of our hearts. Messages like these tug at our heart strings because there is naturally within each of us a deep and earnest longing to come to that place of home. Well, think upon this, dear saints. Without the work of God in Jesus Christ, you would still be a desert wanderer. Without God's grace and mercy to you, you would have no hope of a home. St. Augustine famously wrote that our souls are restless until they find their rest in God. And that is precisely what the psalmist wants you to reflect upon tonight. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he calls them and he calls us to remember. He says, therefore, remember that you were once separated from Christ. You were once alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. You were once strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. This is something that we are prone to grow too accustomed to. This is something that we are prone to forget and to fail to remember. But Paul goes on there and he says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off, you have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. Well, that's what our psalmist is saying here in Psalm 107. Some wandered in desert wastes, finding no way to a city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted within them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way till they reached a city to dwell in. So let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. You and I were once these desert wanderers, but we have found through Jesus Christ our home with the living God. Well, next, the psalmist pictures our plight by describing us as the prisoner. He says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons, for they had rebelled against the works of God, or the words of God. You and I were once described by these words. You and I were once imprisoned by and because of our sin. And in our sin, we simply sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Left to ourselves, there's no way that we would have found a way out of our plight, and death simply loomed over us. We were hemmed in by these afflictions and by these irons. Think about what it must be like to be in prison. Think about what it must be like to have your freedom so removed from you that you no longer exercise any agency over your own life. That's what the psalmist is describing here. Think further, and what is worse, think about what it must be like to sit upon death row. There, the shadow of death just grows greater and greater with every passing minute. None of us want to spend time thinking about these uncomfortable things, but this is how Psalm 107 describes us apart from that intervening grace of God in our lives. Verse 10, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and in irons. Verse 11, for they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. Now this scene calls to mind Israel in Egypt. Verse 12 goes on and describes them saying, so he bowed their hearts down with hard labor. They fell down with none to help. God himself made their circumstances harder so that they would then cry out to God. Well, this is how we come to see Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus opened the scroll of Isaiah. In Isaiah 61, he read, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Well, if you belong to Jesus Christ tonight, you know what it's like to go from being in that prison cell to being set free. You know this because though you were once dead in your trespasses and sins, God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he has loved you, he has made you alive together with Christ. Or, turning back to Psalm 107, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and he burst their bonds apart. Therefore, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. You and I were once imprisoned, but by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, we have been set free. Well, the third picture that the psalmist presents us with is that of the sinful sufferer. In this description, we meet those who suffer under the weight of their own sin. This is like the suffering that David describes in Psalm 32. There, David described his experience under the crushing weight of his own sin and guilt when it was unconfessed. He said, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day. I trust that if you are trusting in Jesus Christ tonight, you know you can relate to these words of Psalm 107 and David's words there in Psalm 32. You know how sin can make you sick. How living with the guilt of your sin and the impending judgment of God for your sin can weigh so heavily upon you that you are sick both in body and in soul. You can relate to John Bunyan's Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, how their Christian read in the Word of God that he lived in the city of destruction and that he had upon his back a great burden because of his own sin and guilt, and how he knew that if he were to die, that burden would sink him deeper than Sheol. You know what it's like to realize that your sin simply draws you near, as our psalm says, to the gates of death. It really is a grace from God to know that this conviction of sin, or to know how this conviction of sin can come to you so that you can cry out. And going back to Psalm 107, verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Remember how it was, as verse 20 says, he sent out his word and he healed them and he delivered them from their destruction. If you know this experience, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. In fact, offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. If you have been set free from that kind of suffering under the weight of your own sin and guilt, you have much to give thanks for. Well, finally, the psalmist paints the picture of those who are storm-tossed. find this a very interesting picture. These are those who go down to the sea seeking to do business. It seems as though Psalm 107 is describing those who want to just go about their lives in this world and maybe put out of mind all of these great eternal realities that we are considering already tonight. They simply hope that their work will cause them to forget God. Instead, as they go down to the sea hoping to do business, they are lifted up by the waves of the sea and then they are plunged down to the depths. The storm is so powerful that their courage melts away. They wanted to go and do business so that they might forget about the things of God, but God brought about the power of His Word in their lives to disrupt them and to cause them to cry out to God. The Bible often portrays God's power through His acts of nature. Just think about how God spoke all things into existence, and then whenever He speaks, often the earth trembles and quakes. Well, here in this psalm, though we are pictured as those whose We are pictured as those whose lives are interrupted by God's sovereign control of creation. Going back again to this psalm, it says that these went down to the sea in ships doing business on the great waters. But think, your life in this world may have been just like this. You went to go about your life in this world, but then God intervened. They saw the deeds of the Lord, His wondrous works in the deep, for He commanded and He raised the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves of the sea. They mounted up to heaven. They went down to the depths. Their courage melted away in their evil plight. They reeled and staggered like drunken men and were at their wits' end. This should cause us to think upon the disciples as they were in the boat with Christ on the Sea of Galilee. Their lives were dramatically shaken by the wind and the waves on that stormy sea. They staggered about, but that staggering about caused them to cry out. And this psalm spoke forward about them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. He made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad that the waters were quiet, and He brought them to their desired haven. Well, many of you can relate to these things in your own life, how you went about in your own life seeking to do business, but God intervened, oftentimes sending storms into your life in order to cause you to cry out to Him. Well, if you can reflect upon these things and if you can relate to these words, you too have much to give thanks for. Though the storms of this life still come upon us, it's one thing to experience those storms of life when you know the peace of God that passes understanding. Well, here we are, and Psalm 107 calls us to remember. Except for the sovereign grace of God in our lives, you and I would still be these homeless wanderers. We would still be imprisoned by our sin. We would still be suffering under the weight of guilt, and we would still be tossed to and fro by our sin, which is why we must go on tonight. So second, remember your Redeemer. You know by now the refrain of this psalm. Then they cried to the Lord in their distress, and He delivered them. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them from their distress. The refrain of this psalm recognizes that in each and every one of these pictures of peril, that it is God the Lord who redeems. He is the one who hears, cries for mercy, and He answers them. But how? How is it? Well, if you remember back to Romans chapter 3, verse 26, there it tells us that our redemption that is through Jesus Christ was so that God might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. There we learn something of the costliness of our redemption. Because God is just. God cannot simply look past our sins. He cannot simply forget about our sins because he is a holy and a just God. But he is also the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. It is because of in his love he predestined you for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ that though he is just, he also became the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Being both loving and just, he sent forth his Son to pay the cost needed to redeem you. Well, Hebrews 2:17 tells us that Jesus had to be made like us in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of his people. Well, there are so many different avenues that we could pursue to think about how Jesus was made like us yet without sin, but we could simply tonight limit ourselves to these same categories that we find in Psalm 107. Jesus was made to wander in the desert without food for 40 days and for 40 nights. Israel wandered in the desert because of sinful unbelief. You and I were born desert wanderers because we were born in Adam and continued in our own sin. But think upon Jesus. He is the sinless Son of God, and he wandered in the wilderness for 40 days without food, feeding only on the Word of God, so that he might learn obedience through suffering. There Jesus walked by faith as a man, trusting in his Father. And just think about that great condescension of Jesus to be your Savior. He enjoyed a perfect belonging within the Godhead. He enjoyed that perfect belonging within the Godhead, and yet he became a man and he experienced what it's like to be without home, to be without food and water in that wilderness, to become so weak that he was at the point of fainting. Jesus became that wanderer in the wilderness to redeem you from that same state. Think next about how Jesus, though he had committed no sin, he was imprisoned. Again, words can escape us as we try to think about Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the one through whom all things were made. He was betrayed. He was falsely accused. He was arrested. He was beaten. He was mocked. And then he was condemned to die by way of crucifixion at the hands of his own creation. And just think about this. In time, Jesus sat in prison. He sat in prison behind bars from which, humanly speaking, he could not free himself. And he was imprisoned so that you and I might be set free from the penalty and the power and one day the presence of our sin. This is, again, how we have been redeemed. Think also of how Jesus suffered because of your sin. The psalm tells us that at least some of the affliction that we face in this world is because of our own sin. We suffer because of our own sin, but it was the sinless Son of God who, again, left the glories of the Godhead to come and endure the miseries of this life. He endured not only the miseries of this life, but he then died that cruel death upon the cross. This is why when Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed to his Father, pleading that if there be any other way, that God would take that cup from him. This is why Jesus, when he was hanging upon the cross, he cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? This is why Jesus sings, as we sing in Psalm 102, because of your indignation and anger, you have taken me up and you have thrown me down. Just reading the words of Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Brothers and sisters, this is why the psalmist closes Psalm 107 by saying, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. What are the things that you attend to? What are the things that you set your mind upon? We live in a world in which we have given over more and more of our attention to the voices of this world, and because of that, we attend to a great multitude of voices in our lives. And yet, here is the Word of God saying, whoever is wise, let him attend to these things. Let them consider the steadfast love of the Lord. If we were among those on that ship that wrecked trying to go around the Cape of Good Hope, there would be a great many things that you could attend to. But again, at the direction of that wise minister, those people attended to these things. They went ahead and they took their minds from temporal suffering and set them upon these great eternal truths of their redemption. And so too must we in our lives attend to these things. You were once a wanderer, and you would have died in that desert. You were once a prisoner, and you had absolutely no hope of release. You once awaited even more suffering than you might imagine because of your sin. You once awaited the crushing weight of God's wrath for all eternity. And yet, as is the refrain of this psalm, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble. If you have cried to the Lord out of your trouble, this is the work of God in your life. This is the grace and mercy to you, because these words fall on deaf ears all the time. If you can say that you have cried out to the Lord in your trouble and he has delivered you from your distress, then you have much to give thanks to the Lord for, because he is good. And because his steadfast love endures forever. So if you are wise, attend to these things. Consider the steadfast love of the Lord. For he satisfies. He alone satisfies the longing soul. The hungry soul, he alone fills with good things. He alone is the one who shatters the doors of bronze and cuts in two the bars of iron. He alone is the one who sends out his word and he heals those who are sin sick and delivers them from destruction. He alone is the one who can turn deserts, the deserts of our lives, into pools of water, and the parched land of our lives into springs of water. So even tonight, no matter your circumstances, let us give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. When we hear his steadfast love endures forever, our hearts ought to say amen. Let us, as the redeemed of the Lord, say so. Let us be those who in this world say so. Because if you are trusting in Christ tonight, he has redeemed you from the trouble of your sin, and he has gathered you unto himself. Let us give thanks to God. Our God in heaven, we often do not attend to these things, and we ask for your forgiveness for those things. We ask that you would forgive us for attending to a great many other things instead of to these things. And we plead with you as those who know our own weakness and the wanderings of our own hearts, that you would, by the power of your Holy Spirit, give the very thing that you command, that we would be wise, that we would attend to these things, that we would be those who live our lives as a thankful people in this world because you are good, and because we know the unchangeable, steadfast love of God through Jesus Christ, your Son. Lord, we pray that more and more, with each passing day, we would understand these things to a greater degree and give you the thanks and praise that is due to your name. Do this in us, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen.